Well, it's a joy to be with you today. It's always an honor to preach God's Word and a privilege to stand behind His sacred desk. This morning we're going to be looking at a section of Scripture that's been on my heart for a long time in the Old Testament, and it was God's dealing with the children of Israel. And I believe that this passage of Scripture is just as pertinent to us today as it was to the children of Israel in their day. And it's found in Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 through 22. And I'd like to read those verses in Jesus' name. "And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees I am giving you today for your own good. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord set His affection on your forefathers and loved them, and He chose you, their descendants, above all the nations as it is today. Circumcise your hearts, therefore. Do not be stiff-necked any longer, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, almighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the alien, giving him food and clothing. And you are to love those who are aliens, for you yourselves were aliens in Egypt. Fear the Lord your God and serve Him. Hold fast to Him and take your oaths in His name. He is your praise. He is your God, who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. Your forefathers who went down into Egypt were 70 in all, and now the Lord your God has made them as numerous as the stars of the sky." I want to ask you this morning, when you were growing up, did you have any chores to do? Raise your hand. Yeah, that's good. Daily and weekly routines that we had to do. Now the second question is, did you do them immediately and without grumbling? Anybody raise their hand to that? I hope so. I know I didn't. We have a tendency to grumble. And yet, when I think about chores, I know my brother and I had to do morning and evening taking care of the livestock because Dad was an over-the-road trucker and he was gone all week. And we had to get up at very early because the bus, we were the first ones on the school bus at 7 o'clock. So, I mean, there was no sleeping in. And Dad always had this saying, he said, in the summertime, he says, when he came to wake us up to go out in the field and so forth, he says, "Yeah, you guys, you got all winter to sleep." That was a lie. There's some things here that the Lord has to say to us today, as He said to the Israelites. And I think they're very pertinent to the time in which we live. We need a little bit of background as we get into this text today. The Lord gave to Moses and the children of Israel various instructions as to know how they were chosen. Turn back to Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 through 9. Deuteronomy 7, 6 through 9. "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be His people. His treasured possession. The Lord did not set His affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept His oath He swore to your forefathers that He brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is a faithful God, keeping His covenant of love to 1,000 generations to those who love Him and keep His commands. He chose them because He loved them, and He had an oath to keep to the forefathers. They were to follow the Lord's commands, decrees, and laws. Chapter 7, verse 11 and following. Therefore, take care to follow the commands, decrees, and laws I give you today. If you pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow them, then the Lord your God will keep His covenant of love with you as He swore to your forefathers. He will love you and bless you and increase your numbers. He will bless the fruit of your womb, the crops of your land, your grain, new wine and oil, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks in the land that He swore to your forefathers to give you. You will be blessed more than any other people. None of your men or women will be childless, nor any of your livestock without young. The Lord will keep you free from every disease. He will not inflict on you the horrible diseases you knew in Egypt, but will inflict them on all who hate you. And they were reminded to keep the commands of God. Something that concerns me in the day in which we live right now is that here we are this morning, it's a Sunday morning, we're here in church and we're worshiping our Lord and listening to the Word of God. But the question is, from Monday through Saturday, does God go with us? Are we living in obedience to Him? Or do we rule the other 6 days of the week ourselves? We're to obey the Word of God. Moses gave them the warning not to forget the Lord. Chapter 8, verse 1. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Be careful to follow some of the commands. It says every command. Every command. And the dangers of being satisfied with this life, he talks about that as well. You know, we're so comfortable here. Life is fairly easy for us in America. And there's a danger in becoming satisfied with life. Look at chapter 8, verses 10 through 14. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws, and His decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Be careful when you start to think that you're satisfied living here. That's a dangerous place. You know, we get to certain stages in our life and like to think we're going to retire and we're going to do so many things. He says, be careful that you don't become satisfied with life. It's such an easy thing, and forget the Lord. Reasons for the desert wanderings, and I think we need to look at this just a little bit. There was a reason God brought them out of Egypt and they had these desert wanderings. You know, the deliverance of the Israelites from Egypt was a great salvation event of the Old Testament. But there were some lessons that they had to learn in the desert. Chapter 8, verse 15. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so that it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your forefathers as it is today. And here's a real warning in verse 19. If you ever forget the Lord your God, if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. Not only do we become satisfied with life, but sometimes we think, boy, I'm a self-made man. I've done all these things. Look at me. Look what I have. Wake up. It is the Lord that gives you the ability to produce wealth. We're here this morning by the wonderful grace of our God who enables us to breathe and gives us our life and being and everything that we have. We're not self-made. We're totally reliant on the Lord. And another reminder here of why God was bringing them into the Promised Land, chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Hear, O Israel, you are now about to cross the Jordan to go in and dispossess nations greater and stronger than you with large cities. You have walled up, they have walls up to the sky. The people are strong and tall, Anakites. You know about them and have heard it said, who can stand up against the Anakites? But be assured today that the Lord your God is the one who goes across ahead of you like a devouring fire. He will destroy them. He will subdue them before you. And you will drive them out and annihilate them quickly, as the Lord has promised you. After the Lord your God has driven them out before you, do not say to yourself, the Lord has brought me here to take possession of this land because I am righteous, or because of my righteousness. No, it is on account of wickedness that these nations, that the Lord is going to drive them out before you. It is not because of your righteousness or your integrity that you are going in to take possession of their land. But on the account of the wickedness of these nations, the Lord your God will drive them out before you to accomplish what He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand then that it is not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God is giving you this good land to possess, for you are a stiff-necked people. What a reminder. Sometimes we think we're so holy and so righteous. We all have a sinful nature, people. And we're prone to do some sinful things, right? And then we have the giving of the Ten Commandments and the golden calf event here in this section as well. And we know that story, how Moses was up on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights before the Lord. And he had this stone tablet, the first one God made. And he wrote with his finger on there the Ten Commandments. And then all of a sudden, the Lord heard this terrible noise down on earth. He says, Moses, you go down there and you check on those people. And when he got down there, he was so furious that he broke the tablets. And he was angry, very angry. And we see over in chapter 9, verse 25 through 29. You know, this is a really good thing to do when you're angry. Pray. Isn't it? And he says, I, meaning Moses, lay prostrate before the Lord those 40 days and 40 nights because the Lord had said he would destroy you. I prayed to the Lord and said, O sovereign Lord, do not destroy your people, your own inheritance that you redeemed by your great power and brought out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Overlook the stubbornness of those of this people, their wickedness and their sin. Otherwise, the country from which you brought us will say, because the Lord was not able to take them into the land he had promised them, and because he hated them, he brought them out to put them to death in the desert. But they are your people, your inheritance that you brought out by your great power and your outstretched arm. Moses was reminding God and pleading on behalf of the Israelites. Remember in the book of Exodus, which is a fuller account of all this, Lord, if you don't do this, then blot my name out from the book. He loved those people, Moses did. To the point he was willing to sacrifice his own relationship with God on their behalf. Now that's love. And go over to chapter 10, verse 10. And now I had stayed on the mountain 40 days and nights, as I did the first time. And the Lord listened to me at this time also, and it was not his will to destroy you. Go, the Lord said to me, and lead the people on their way so that they may enter and possess the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. I like this part. And the Lord listened to me at this time. Moses understood better than anybody else the wonderful mercy and grace of God. And God relented. Oh, there was some consequences. We remember that when Moses got down there, he called people to rally. Who is for the Lord? Who isn't for the Lord? And the Levites rallied toward him. They put on their swords, and we know that 3,000 of them were killed. It was a consequence for their sin. And yet God didn't destroy all of Israel. But he relented, and he was about to take them into the promised land. And the question comes, and this is the old, the King James Version. What does the Lord require of us? Or what does the Lord your God ask of you? I want to relate this to Psalm 116 and David's relationship to the Lord. And if you would turn with me to Psalm 116. There's a similarity here that I think is quite interesting. Psalm 116, verse 1. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. And then I called on the name of the Lord. The Lord saved me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore, I said, I am greatly afflicted. And in my dismay, I said, all men are liars. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all people. David was so grateful for the mercy of God, for the salvation of his soul, that he says, Lord, how can I repay you for all your goodness to me? Do you reflect on the goodness of God toward you? You know, we tell him all our prayer requests and we do some grumbling. But do we reflect on his goodness? God, you've been so good to me today. God, you have blessed me so today. You have provided for me today. You've been so good. I challenge you to dwell on the goodness of our God. He is so good. And then we get back to these things. Verse 12, and now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord? That's the first thing. Fear him. Fear the Lord your God. We must adore his majesty, acknowledge his authority, stand in awe of his power, and dread of his wrath. Sensing the fear of his wrath. Fear the Lord. Revelation 14, 6 and 7 says, fear God and give him glory because the hour of his judgment has come. You know, friends, I believe God's cup of wrath is just about full. Fear the Lord and give him glory. You know, what is so astounding today, we have hurricanes and torrential rains and fires and does anyone fear God? I think it's like in Revelation where people are shaking their fist at God and blaming him. God, have mercy on us. God, have mercy on this nation. Help us. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear him. Proverbs 2:7, understand the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Psalm 2:11, serve the Lord with fear. There's a reverential fear that we need to have of God. Now, I'm not saying that we should be afraid of God. No. He's a loving Father. He's a gracious God. When he saves us, we become friends of God, right? He's such a wonderful, loving God. But he is worthy of reverence. When I stand before the altar, whether it's serving communion or whatever, I can't help but think of Hophni and Phinehas, who had lost their reverence before God, and they were killed on the spot. Oh, how we need a reverential fear of God today. And yet, he's a God who loves us so much. The second thing it says here, to walk in all his ways. Deuteronomy 8:6, to walk in his ways and to fear him. Deuteronomy 30:15 and 16, see, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction, for I command you today, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws, then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. Walk in all his ways. Not some of his ways, all of his ways. Galatians 5:16. One of my favorite verses. And I have said this before, but when there was a great falling away of pastors, especially in the 80s, we had pastors in our own fellowship falling, and it was a terrible time. I remember one of the coordinating committee members calling me, and he said, "Dale, I want you to sit down." I had a phone in my hand, and I sat down. And they relayed the message of Pastor Snipstead at that time. Such a shock. He had fallen along with others. But this verse, it says, live. The old King James says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature or the flesh. The only way that we can be overcomers is by cultivating a walk with the Lord and with the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's the only thing that'll keep us from falling. And we talk about the temptations. We're tempted by the devil, the world, and our own flesh. I want to tell you today that the biggest struggle I have is with my own flesh, the one who tempts us. When we're drawn away and we're enticed by our old nature. It's a battle that goes on. I don't think I'm alone in this battle. And oh, how we need to cultivate a walk in the Spirit. And what does that mean anyway? It means we get into His Word. It means that we pray. It means that we cry out to God in the midst of our need. And we seek His forgiveness and grace and mercy. Cultivate a walk in the Spirit, people. It's vital to your eternal welfare. I like Jude 24 and 25, to Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord. Before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. He's the one who keeps us from falling. And He's the one who presents us to the Father.